standing here on a highway turned into a lake. Born on this planet that I didn't make. The ice caps are melting, you can measure the rise of the poisoned oceans. Hear all the lies of the political pundits and corporate crooks, their accountants and scientists cooking the books with hardly an inkling of what it's about. Wedded to profit in flood and in drought, I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. Standing here on a bayou amidst mountains of soil, washed up farmland covered in oil, 1 ton every acre lost every year, and along with the pesticides it ends up right here. Millions of miles of chemical weeds, challenging all to try to compete and lay waste to your country like we've done to ours. Let them eat coffee, sugar, coca, and flowers. I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. Here in the city, shrouded in smoke, 10 million people this morning awoke to a future of cancer, industrial disease. So let's build some more suburbs and buy SUVs. Cut down the mountains, burn all the coal, and put all the money in a humongous bowl. They'll call it progress and they'll blame it on you to end life as we know it, to enrich the few. I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. Yes, I speak to you now from an occupied place. You might call it your home or a terrorist base. They'll send your sons and your daughters to make sure that it's theirs, while they sit in their mansions in plush leather chairs. And everyone's waiting for us to decide. In dust we were born, and in dust we reside. Will we realize the commons is to shepherd and share here in this war zone called land, water, and air? I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world.
Thanks for returning to Great Speeches and Interviews on Axis Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. You can listen to this program and many other wonderful programs if you're in the Sacramento area at 96.5 FM. If you're just joining us, we're listening to The Economy of the Underground People. The underground economy is where drug wars and police lockdowns meet urban America. Tom Ashbrook talks to Alice Goffman.
I want to get
back to Cameron's question.
Yeah,
for a
please,
minute.
Please,
Tom,
yes.
Would you mind?
Not at all.
So Cameron, who we heard from before, I don't know if you're still listening, Cameron, but I just wanted to say thank you for that, and also that, you know, depending on the region, about half of people coming into prisons are people who are coming in not for new crimes, but for technical violations of probation and parole, failing to get a job, failing a drug test, or a urine test, being in a neighborhood that you're not designated to be, not making curfew. And I think if we can transform probation and parole to be systems that are supporting young men and women who are coming home or before people even go in or instead of going in, rather than creating a whole system that of hurdles and also the fees, right? So a lot of people are coming back for fees that they can't pay. So if we could transform these systems to be ones that support young people in their and older people coming home in their job search, rather than create a whole series of more regulations that they have to meet and fees that they have to pay, you know, that's like in some ways like a no-brainer, right? We could act right there. You know, Cameron shouldn't be struggling under these fees As he's trying to get a job, you know,
almost as debtor's prison, because they can't pay the fees to get out. So you're in and boom.
Right. And you can actually work them off in jail and prison. So, yeah.
I want to look at the family structure impact of the way women get caught up in this. And you have incredible stories here about the leverage, the pressure put on women to turn the men in their lives into law enforcement that put them in really difficult situations and end up breaking families.
Yeah. So like in order to round up enough young men to meet their informal quotas, the police are waiting outside of hospitals. They're running IDs of people on the street. They're stopping and searching people. But they're also deploying this very kind of almost kind of more pernicious strategy to make their stats, which is to turn to girlfriends, mothers, relatives to provide information about the whereabouts of the men in their lives. So this is not like what the police do for like the few most wanted criminals, you know, where you find the person's girlfriend and say, okay, well, where is he hiding? This is what they're doing on a kind of routine basis to get large numbers of arrests from these communities. So we did this household survey of this neighborhood that I was living in Philadelphia, and we interviewed 146 men, 146 women, and 139 of those women said that they had been pressured by the police to inform on, to be basically tell the police the whereabouts or activities of a husband or boyfriend or son.
And sometimes that pressure is very keen, very tough pressure.
Right. So so I was present for a number of nighttime raids. One, you know, I was staying at Mike's mother's house, and Mike and Chuck had slept there that night. So it was me, Mike, Chuck, and Mike's mother. I was sleeping on the couch. And the police, three police officers in SWAT gear banged in the door. One put me in plastic cuffs, pushed me against the floor, put his foot on my back, asked me to tell him where the men in the house were. Then they opened the fridge. They pulled down the drop ceiling, took the squares out of the drop ceiling, threw everything out of the closet, took a knife and opened everything in the couch. So after these raids, you know, your house is like, it's like a tornado hit your house, you know. So after that, women become much more cooperative, right? It's like, okay, well, the next time I see him, I'll call, you know. But they also do something kind of deeper than that, which is to tell women that they will take their children, or that they will lose all public housing privileges, or they will be arrested for the crimes that the man is being charged for. So women come to see their partners as people who might get them arrested, as people who they can't have in the house because they'll get evicted, or they'll get arrested themselves. So kind of ruining relationships from the inside out, which is again kind of the opposite of what we would like to see law enforcement doing. You know, we'd like the police to be strengthening relationships between men and women, not pulling men and women apart from each other.
Ira in Hartford, Connecticut. Ira, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty well, Ira. What do you know?
Yeah, well, you know, as a youth, I was incarcerated. I was always in the system. You know, I grew up with a mother that was drug addicted. And, you know, I can relate to being villainized, you know, for every little shortcoming that I had as a youth. And it is possible to turn your life around.
Thank you. And how did you turn your life around?
It started, I went away for 6 years. I was incarcerated for 6 years at the age of 16. And during that incarceration, I was able to take a break away from the lifestyle that I was involved in. I was able to go to school, and I was able to get a GED and take, you know, various technical courses. And these are the things, you know, that helped me to, you know, develop. So I used that time incarcerated to get a better look at myself and to take a time out and make some decisions on what I wanted to do in my life.
Ira, did you go back to the same community when you came out, or did you go elsewhere?
Well, I went back to the same community, you know, but I knew that I had to change everything in order to succeed, you know. So I still remained friends with a lot of the people that I hung out with, but I kept a safe distance. Because of the teachings that I learned in Narcotics Anonymous, you have to change people, places, and things to the best of your ability.
Our time is short. I really appreciate your call. Alice,
people
want to hear this. They want to hear Ira's message. It is possible to turn your life around. I'm not sure the message of your book is quite that. Yours is more community-based and not quite as optimistic as Ira's direct personal message.
I think that I think that there's a lot of people who want to be turning their lives around, and what we need to do is help people and not make it harder. I think that's really the message.
What would you do to do that? Our caller, you know, out of Brooklyn and Bed-Stuy said, have people come back and fix up brownstones. Okay. What would you do, Alice?
I mean, I think we need to think about, so, you know, crime is an undeniable problem in poor communities. It's something that residents have to deal with. We need to be providing solutions to crime that are not so arrest-based and so incarceration-based. We need to think about mediating disputes, think about the causes of crime, like some people mentioned. There's a lot of problems that are not really problems that should best be dealt with by imprisonment, problems like, you know, not having finished school, problems like, you know, not really knowing what to do when you're angry, problems like substance abuse. You know, these are all things that need community support, that need, you know, people need help, not to be placed behind bars. I think also just we need to think more broadly about justice. We tend to think of justice in this very narrow way, you know, like it's unjust if you're wrongly convicted, but if you're convicted of something you did do, then, you know, then you deserve to be punished for it. I think we need to think about justice and opportunities, you know, justice for people who are trying to turn their lives around. How long should you continue to pay, you know, after you've already been punished? You know, fairness, fairness under the law.
It is a big, deep circumstance that you describe here in Philadelphia and right on across the nation. You do it with a rare kind of intimacy. And we're grateful for the view, tough as it is. Alice Kaufman's new book is On the Run, Fugitive Life in an American City. Alice, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's been really terrific.
Access Sacramento broadcasts great speeches and interviews every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m., or you can get the podcast at greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
Get out of here. We gotta find a solution. I'm a 20th century man. man, but I don't wanna be him. I was born in a welfare state, ruled by bureaucracy, controlled by civil servants and people dressed in grey. Got no privacy, got no liberty, 'cause the 20th century people took it all away from me. Myself shot down. Some trigger happy peaceman. Gotta keep a hold of my sanity. I'm a 20th century man. Thank you.
out to mess, and also their wives. Well, they're taking out two men, and also their wives. Well, they're taking them out in the woods, and they're taking the people's lives. I'm gonna write the governor, tell him about the judge's day. Well, I'm gonna write the governor, tell him about the judge's day. Well, he better do something just before it is.
He loves me.
now, messages from Access Sacramento.